AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge afternoon of Scottish football. Celtic look to return to the top of the table against Motherwell at Fir Park. Rangers host St Mirren as they continue to chase down those at the top, and it's finished all square in the Edinburgh Derby. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Is a news story if you are Mark Wilson's age or are about to turn 30 this week like Andrew McLean. It's an old story if you're my age and Gordon DL's vintage. Aberdeen have made Celtic and Rangers play catch up in the title race, and that hasn't happened for 40 years. Jimmy Tilleen's side, 3 points clear at the top of the table, 6 points ahead of Rangers, and they play each other on Wednesday night. Aberdeen, 3 points ahead of Celtic, and Brendan Rodgers is away from home at Motherwell, having made significant team changes. What an afternoon we have in prospect, and that draw in Edinburgh, incidentally, means that Hibs and Hearts are 19 points behind Aberdeen. What is going on?
Yeah, well done first and foremost to Aberdeen for last night. They sit top of the table, but it's only October, but well done to them nonetheless. Three big games today, one down, probably lacking quality, lacking drama. I just wonder if the other two coming up will have more quality and more drama. I'm looking forward to both of them today.
Yeah, I think there's a good card today. Aberdeen sit there proudly, but is it only for a few hours? If Celtic win it for part, obviously they go top again, but you can't take anything away from the way Aberdeen's going about their business. Hibs Hearts share the points. I think we'll get plenty of goals at Ibrox and for part today.
Yeah, we don't often have it, do we? Celtic and Rangers playing in different matches but at the exact same time. We're in for a good day, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, the circumstances are such, Rangers cannot possibly drop any points against St Mirren, a St Mirren team, incidentally, who have lost their last three games on the bounce, because Clement knows that he's going to Pittodrie on Wednesday night. 20,000 people inside Pittodrie last night to see that belated win for Aberdeen, and they are making the running here, and Celtic can't afford to drop anything at Fir Park if it comes to that. So we have what used to be the case in Scottish football. We have somebody other than the Old Firm creating a stir, and his name is Jimmy Tilleen.
Well, we will be here for you all the way through until 6 o'clock. We'll be bringing you all the action. Of course, at 5 o'clock on the open line, we'll give you your chance to have your say. But we need to see what happens in these 3 o'clock kickoff, 3 o'clock kickoffs first. But there was a big game earlier on. Hibs won, Hearts won. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that as well. We want to hear those later on. And of course, 3 o'clock, Motherwell against Celtic, Rangers against St Mirren. We'll reflect on yesterday's action. As Hugh said, a big win for Aberdeen. Two other Premiership games at 3 o'clock as well to look back on. But for now, the focus is on those games at 3 o'clock. Let's start going around the grounds. Let's go first of all to Fir Park. It's Motherwell against Celtic, and Gabriel is there for us.
Yes, good afternoon, Andrew, from Fir Park. The pitch looking fantastic here. A massive game ahead. As we all know, Aberdeen left it late against Dundee United yesterday, but they are not letting up at the top. They've handed the baton back over to Celtic, who need another 3 points to stay level with them at the top of the table. The Hoops, of course, on a shorter week than most after their European exertions on Wednesday night. An impressive display in Northern Italy, but they'll hope it won't have taken its toll on them. It has been mixed for Brendan Rodgers' side recently. They struggled in the second half against Aberdeen last weekend. Only one win in their last four matches, and that required a late Nicholas Kuhn strike to win it in Dingwall. He'll be hoping that they can really click into gear this afternoon against a team who have been impressive so far this season. Time for team news though, Andrew, and the big breaking news coming out of the Celtic changing room. Captain Callum McGregor is one of four changes. McGregor not in the squad altogether. It wasn't expected. Rodgers didn't speak about it in his Friday press conference, so that's a bit of a surprise. It's the first time he's not started a game for Celtic all campaign. Kuhn, Eid and Engels all dropped to the bench as well. Luke McCowan comes in place of the Celtic captain for his first start in green and white. He's in alongside Bernardo, Forrest and Kyogo. So the 11 today at Fir Park for Celtic. Kasper Schmeichel in goal. Defence of Alistair Johnson, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales and Alex Baye. Luke McCowan, Paolo Bernardo and Rea Hatate in midfield. James Forrest, Kyogo and Daisen Maeda are up top. Substitutes, Sinisalo, Taylor, Palmer, Ida, Kung, Yang, Carter Vickers, Engels and Ralston. So some positives there for Celtic with Taylor and Carter Vickers, who've been injured for a while, back amongst the substitutes. What about the hosts? Stuart Kettlewell's team certainly looking to bounce back from last weekend, beaten at home by Dundee, somewhat surprisingly given the start that they've made. Kettlewell makes two changes himself. Casey and Robinson drop to the bench. In come Marvin Coletta and Tom Sparrow, both of them making their first start for the club. He said that they weren't good enough last week. They've won 6 or 7 before though, Andrew, so it could be a tough test for Celtic today. The run-through of the 11 looks like it's going to be a 5-2-3 formation, 5-4-1. Aston Oxborough in goal. Marvin Coletta, Stephen O'Donnell, Liam Gordon, Kofi Bellmer and Ewan Wilson will be the back five, with Davor Stravkovski and Andy Halliday, Clyde's own Andy Halliday, just in front of them. It'll be Lennon Miller and the debuting Tom Sparrow just behind Apostolos Stamatolopoulos, who leads the line. Substitutes Heggie, Seddon, Robinson, Casey, Blaney, Kutrumbis, Moses, Watt and Maswanhi Sick.
Yeah, I think a lot of eyes on the Celtic team would have been looking at whether Cameron Carter-Vickers was going to come back in and start, with him being back in the squad. But no Callum McGregor. There wasn't really any suggestion when we spoke to Brendan Rodgers on Friday that there was an issue with Callum McGregor, but a surprise that he's dropped out.
Yeah, I think it's a surprise. I think yesterday we were chatting on the show about that, the midfield options Brendan Rodgers has, and we were chatting about Luke McCown, we're chatting about Bernardo, maybe Engels taking a bit of time on the bench, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we all expected Cal McGregor to be playing. Maybe something will come out. Maybe he's picked up a little knock, or he's unwell, because he is a certain star every game. And I think in games like these, you really need your captain. So even though Celtic have got quality in that area, there's no doubt they'll miss him today, and Motherwell may see that as an opportunity. But when you bring in Bernardo and McCown, who was a standout before he came to Celtic, then you've got good replacements. Big interest for me. I said yesterday in the show I thought Ida would have played after his performance back in February, where he stole the limelight and got Celtic the 3 points. He's went for Kyogo today, and Kyogo should be rested from midweek. So a strong Celtic team, albeit weakened from the absence of Callum McGregor.
How does that midfield line up for you? Because Callum McGregor is obviously the player that always sits in that midfield. Is there an obvious option out of McCown, Bernardo, Hatate, who fills in that McGregor role?
I think maybe Bernardo. But listen, they're attacking side. I think they'll just rotate. There's a freshness about that side, I've got to say. I like the look at it. I think Bernardo's a top player. McCown's been waiting for his opportunity. He's done really well since he's went to Celtic. Hatate's a very talented player. Forrest is in the wide areas. Listen, they defended brilliantly. It's the same back five as the other night there. I just think he's got to freshen up. McGregor is a miss because he's a captain, but they've still got enough ability in that team to go and win today.
A little surprise that Kuhn was left out. For me, his pace was troublesome for Atalanta in Bergamo during the week. However, we have praised the Celtic board for pushing the boat out and spending so much money. We have praised Brendan Rodgers for his utilisation of bench and starting 11. So there's absolutely no excuse.
Are you
for
a bit
Celtic
surprised, Hugh, that Ingles, who's come in for a little bit of criticism? Now, I think he's a terrific young player, and he's going to have games where he goes up and down his form. I thought maybe we'd have stayed with him today and just let him play it through, because he's got a great ability. They brought him in for 11 million, big price tag. Are you a little bit surprised he's left him out, or would you have?
I think he's taken him out the firing line, because people are looking at Arnott Ingalls and saying, what, £11 million and he faded against Ross County and faded against Borussia Dortmund and faded against Atalanta? I think he's just taken them out of the firing line. And again, I go back to the point, you can't praise the club for bringing in players like Paolo Bernardo and Luke McCowan and then query why they're playing. Also, in passing, Alistair Johnson, Celtic captain today. I think that shows how quickly he has adapted to Celtic, to Scottish football, the rapport he has with the supporters. So, for me, Celtic have no excuses. You've got a Motherwell side on the rebound from a home defeat to Dundee last week, who have two players in Coletta and Sparrow who haven't started a match this season. And for me, the knock-on from Atalanta ought to guarantee that Celtic, while being aware of the fact that Aberdeen are now 3 points ahead of them, Celtic should win this game.
Celtic are always going to be favourites for this type of game, Mark. But when you look at the last four between these two sides, the games at Celtic Park, Motherwell have managed to get two draws against Celtic. The last two games at Fir Park between the sides, Celtic have had to go to injury time to get the winners. It just proves that Stuart Kettlewell was managing to make games tough for Celtic when he faces them.
Yeah, it certainly is. He plays a system that's hard to play through in those past four games. But he also has a go when the time is right, promoting bodies forward. And he got his rewards in those games. And Brendan Rodgers will know what lies in front of him. They've been incredibly difficult games for Celtic to get through. Back at Fir Park last September, it was Matt O'Reilly was the saviour in the last minutes. February, again, it was Ida that got Celtic back and got 3 points. So they know it's going to be a tough game. And it's always a risk. Hugh is right. Celtic's got a great squad, spent plenty of money, but it's always a risk when you change a good few of your certain starters. So those who have got the shirt today have to stand up and be counted and take the game to Motherwell. They can't let the game just drift on and rely on people coming off the bench. That's the challenge that lies ahead of McCown and Bernardo and Forrest coming back into the team this afternoon.
Well, interesting team news regarding a captain at Fir Park and at Ibrox, Roger Hannah. Very interesting team news regarding another captain as well.
Very much so. It is the day of the missing captains, Andrew. No Callum McGregor for Celtic at Motherwell and no James Tavernier in the starting lineup for Rangers this afternoon. Top scorer Cyril Dessers and the skipper Tavernier both benched. There's four changes for Rangers from the side that beat Steaua Bucharest comfortably here on Thursday night. John Souter and Tom Lawrence both mark absence from Philippe Clement's squad this afternoon. Still no Matondo, Cortez, Hadji, Yilmaz or Danilo either. And as Hugh said at the top of the show, we arrive here with Rangers 9 points off the pace. A huge week. St Mirren today, up at Pittodrie on Wednesday night. Motherwell in a Premier Sports Cup semi-final next Sunday. And I think this Clement team reflects that hectic schedule and also his lengthening list of absentees. The Rangers will start with Jack Butland, the captain, stand-in captain in goal. It's a back four of Nereshio Casemiro, Leon Balogun, Robin Proper and Jefty. Midfield, Conor Barron, Nico Raskin and Modi Omande. And up top, Vaclav Chernyi, two-goal hero in the Europa League on Thursday, along with Hamza Igamani, who scored his first Rangers goal against Steaua, and Nedim Bajrami. On the bench, it's Kelly, Tavernier, Dessers, Dowell, Sterling, McCausland, Fraser, McKinnon and Lovelace. Rangers, of course, back in domestic duties for the first time since that defeat at Kilmarnock, a damaging defeat at Rugby Park last Sunday, but they have won their last six meetings against St Mirren, and St Mirren don't arrive here in any type of form at all. Boss Stephen Robinson did get a new three-year contract in midweek. That was reward for back-to-back top six finishes, of course. Best league finishes in 40 years for the Saints. But this season's not started well. Three straight defeats. They've won just one in 11. They're 10th in the Premiership table. And they're probably glad of that share of the spoils in the Edinburgh Derby, keeping Hearts and Hibs 2 points behind them. Such is the congestion in that area of the table, Andrew. A win would take them into the top six today. But their last win over Rangers was in the League Cup in Paisley 4 years ago. And the last one here in November 1991, long before you were with us, Andrew, when my old pal and neighbour Kevin McGowan scored the only goal. Robinson makes two changes from the side that were beaten 4-0 by Hearts at Tynecastle 8 days ago. Out go Kevin Van Veen and Oisin Smith, and in come Elvis Buomono and James Scott. Today we'll have Ellery Balcombe in goal. To back three, Marcus Fraser, Alec Gogic and Charles Dunn. Across the middle, Elvis Buomono, Killian Phillips, Mark O'Hara, the skipper, Greg Kelty and Scott Tanzer. And up top, James Scott joins Toyosi Olusanya. On the bench were Minsky, Penman and Smith, Boyd Munce, Adeniran and Eduwo. McMenamin, Ayunga and Mandron. Our referee is Callum Scott and our VAR at Ibrox this afternoon is Greg Aiken.
Well, how many times have we had callers into this show, Rangers fans who have been asking, demanding that Rangers managers over the years drop James Tavernier?
Yeah,
it's happened today.
I think you could drop anybody today and Rangers would still be okay. Roger has just detailed the facts of life. 33 years since St Mirren beat Rangers anywhere. 4 years since they beat them at their own place. They're at Ibrox, they're on the rebound, they're third bottom. They lost 4-0 to a very ordinary Hearts side last weekend. You could drop anybody. It's a foregone conclusion today.
I think there'll be quite a lot of eyes on Horacio Casanueiro today in that right back role, because if he performs well, then I think a lot of Rangers fans might say that they'll feel justified in criticism of James Tavernier and that Casanueiro should continue to be the right back. If he doesn't have such a good performance, then you wonder where it goes from there.
Well, it's been looking like he was going to go that way, because some of the games he's put him on at right back and moved Tavernier up one. Today he's decided to leave the Rangers captain out. I think that will please a lot of Rangers supporters going to Ibrox. I'm a Tavernier fan. I don't think he's been in great form, I've got to say, this season. I don't think his numbers are anywhere near where he should be. So he's taking him out of the firing line. He's freshened it up like Celtic do at Fir Park, and it's up to the Rangers now to kick on after a performance on Thursday night. Forget the opposition, they were excellent, they were on the front foot, they scored goals. There's a few guys in with an opportunity. I like the look of Barron and Raskin in the middle of the park. I think it gives them a bit of, you know, just being solid in there and making sure the back four are protected. So I'm with you, I can't see St Mirren doing anything today at Ibrox.
Hamza Egemani came off the bench midweek and probably showed more in 20 odd minutes than Cyril Dessers had for the whole game. He certainly had an issue with his eye that Philip Clement went into, and that's why he ended up getting substituted off when he did. But it's a big opportunity for Egemani, who came on, scored his first goal. But there have been a couple of times where he started so far and maybe not shown what he has when he's come off the bench.
Yeah, but I think he deserves a crack at it, and a few goals at it. We're chatting again yesterday about it's probably unfair on players to throw them in and then take them out right away if they don't make an immediate impact. But Egemani's one who looks exciting. I think he excites the Rangers fans. He's got a trick in him, he looks direct, he looks like he can score a goal as well. And Dessers has been relied upon too much, I think, from Rangers' point of view. And you look at who's on the bench as well. You've got Danilo, who's just went missing now and turning up and playing in, you know, the B team every now and then, so he's not going to challenge Dessers. But Egemani might just be the one who sparked something. So it's a big opportunity for him today. I agree with you in respect to St Mirren, what kind of challenge he'll put up. They're not having a great season, and history certainly doesn't give you any idea that they're going to put up any sort of challenge today. So it is right to probably rotate one or two of those with an eye to Wednesday night, because that is a big challenge. I think Rangers will get across the line today, but those going in, similar to Celtic, Egemani, Casemiro, it's their opportunity to stake their place in the team, to stake a claim, should I say, for their place in the team come Wednesday.
There is just this added element for both Celtic and Rangers this season that we've not really had in previous seasons, that if they drop points, if they're not performing well, that there's a third party there that they need to be concerned about now. We've got the league table pinned up on the wall in front of us. Aberdeen, 3 points clear. Yes, they've played a game more. Yeah. But Aberdeen showing yesterday, maybe not their best performance of the season, but they're certainly, you know, they got the win. They're a team Celtic and Rangers at the moment need to be concerned with.
That's why I said at the start of the programme that it's an old story if you're Gordon DL or me, because it used to be the way when Alec Ferguson was there. It hasn't been that way for 40 years. And now you look at a league table where Aberdeen are 9 points ahead of Rangers. Rangers couldn't possibly afford to drop anything today. It's just as well they're playing St Mirren and are in no danger of dropping anything. Likewise, Celtic, they're 3 points behind Aberdeen. They have recently drawn with Aberdeen. Aberdeen gave them 2 goals for a start and still caught them. So Celtic at Motherwell minus the captain, they have to be careful. But if they don't utilise the multi-million pound squad, then that's their own fault. They should win today. But there's a new kid in town, and we've got a revamped look to our league table.
Well, that is the team news from Fir Park. That is the team news from Ibrox as well. We'll continue the preview to those 3 o'clock kickoffs, but after the break, we'll reflect on that Edinburgh derby earlier on. We'll take a look back at the main talking points from yesterday's games and, of course, keep you up to date ahead of those 3 o'clock kickoffs.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Action as it happens. And your reaction from 5 on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Building up to 2 massive games in the Scottish Premiership today. Motherwell against Celtic at Fir Park, Rangers against St Mirren at Ibrox Stadium. Both of those 3 o'clock kickoffs. We got the big team news before the break. Both captains for Celtic and Rangers are out for this one. James Tavernier on the bench for Rangers, Callum McGregor not in the squad. It's being reported though Callum McGregor has an adductor injury. So I think we thought that it would be some sort of injury or illness that would mean he's not in the squad rather than being rested. So it makes sense, especially during this busy period, Mark, where Celtic, well, every team but Celtic have so many games and games of high quality. You know, the one midweek against Atalanta, that if you are concerned about a player, it makes sense that you maybe don't risk them.
Yeah, and you have to balance that up. I could probably be certain if this was a game against Rangers today, he would probably have been patched up and he'd take to the field. But you manage your workload. This one in Dundee midweek, you might miss out because there's bigger games around the corner. But you need to have the quality to be able to do that. And you need to have trust in the players you bring along. Brendan Rodgers always says he has great trust in his team. And today it'll be Bernardo and McCown that takes his place. I actually thought it'd be McCown that would sit a bit deeper today and allow Hitati and Bernardo just to reprise their regular roles. It'll be interesting to see how it lines up. It could take a number of forms. But again, he's going to be a miss because he is the leader and he drives standards at that club.
But how much of a miss can he be? Can he be allowed to be? I mean, after all, you know, McCown, good player. £1 million for Celtic. Paolo Bernardo, good player, blossomed after Matt O'Reilly left for Brighton, £3-4 million. You know, that if you're a Motherwell fan, you're saying, so that's it, they bring in 2 players, value £4 million. Motherwell bring in Coletta and Sparrow, and we're Googling them to find out who they are.
I like the look of the middle of the park. I think they're good energy in there. I think Mark's talking about McCown. So I think they can rotate. I think they've all got the ability just to let each, you know, take turns and going and supporting the front three. The front three, they're good pacer, good direction. I think Celtic look not bad with that team.
Well, we'll continue the build up to those games shortly, but let's take a look back at the Premiership action that has already happened, starting with the most recent. It was a 1-1 draw between Hibs and Hearts at Easter Road today. We mentioned it at the top of the show, maybe not a game full of quality, but it's maybe symptomatic of what we've seen from both teams so far this season, sitting in the bottom 2 places of the Premiership table. A win for either side, you feel, would have been massive today, but neither managed it.
I think the most damning statistic of all is that Aberdeen are 19 points clear of Hearts and Hibs, and we haven't reached games in double figures yet in the Championship. It is astonishing, and it's a sad reflection on Hibs and Hearts, and the quality individually was poor, but Hibs looked as if they were going to get away with it with the goal that they scored. And then they hibbed it again because they allow Alan Forrest to get his head on a throw-in, and he's one of the smallest players in the park, and young James Wilson nips in for the equaliser. So as you were, and as you were is not good enough, because they're bottom and second bottom of the league, and for the two clubs in our capital city, it is nothing short of shocking.
We said a win would have been massive for either side. Was not losing quite vital as well for David Gray, who is in a real sticky spot with Hibs at the moment? Losing an Edinburgh derby, especially after going 1-0 up, would have been disastrous. Neil Critchley, only a week in the job, really. He's had two good results coming into it, so has a bit of credit in the bank for those. Coming back, getting a point from behind, yeah. I don't think you'll see as the worst result.
No, I don't think Critchley will, because it's been a good introduction for him to life at Hearts. But for David Gray, look, his team's all over the place at the minute, so he really could have been doing with a win. And where's that win going to come from? You just can't see them picking up many this season in the form they're in. Hugh's right to touch on the quality, individual quality in that Hibs side defensively. Really, really poor. You look at the goals they concede another really poor goal and maybe could have conceded more. But again, the game was lacking quality. These games often do for me. The Edinburgh Derby, there's not much ever in them. And two scrappy goals. But certainly a worse result, I think, for David Gray. He needs to start picking up points, because we don't like to see managers get the sack, but you feel like he's maybe in borrowed time.
I think his biggest problem at Hibs is he can't keep the back door closed. Now, Hibs were 1-0 up, and it wasn't the greatest game. It wasn't like Hearts were battering their defence every couple of minutes and testing the goalkeeper. But they've got Achilles heel of losing late goals. I said in the TV when we were sitting watching it, I said, this game's not finished. Hearts will probably score, because that's where Hibs are just now. He's got to make sure that if he gets in front, it happened last week at Tannadice as well. He was in control of the game. Yes, you can argue he went down to 10 men, but you still got to see it out. It's only 5-6 minutes. So he's got real problems. And as much as the Hearts manager, he got the new manager bounce, I think, away from home, then the Derby's quite a decent result. I think he's got a bit of work to do as well, because the two sides looked very poor today for me.
David Gray will probably be bemoaning missed chances. There was a couple of Dwight Gayle headers that they probably should have done better with. They could have found themselves ahead earlier in the game.
To be perfectly honest, if he'd lost today, it would have been unlikely he would have been the Hibs manager when they go to play Ross County in midweek. But he has got the point. He's no worse off than Hearts. They are both shoddy, both underachievers, but he lives to fight another day, and that will be in Dingwall, and that will be a real hard one for him. And Hearts will go back to their place to face Kilmarnock midweek. We'll need to wait till the Kilmarnock player gets sent off to see what happens after that. But it's a tough midweek as well for Neil Critchley, because yes, he's done well, but he's beaten a poor St Mirren. He's beaten Omonia Nicosia in Europe. He's got out of jail today with a belated goal against Hibs, but the jury will still be out on him.
I think with these clubs, the size of these clubs, we always expect them just to bounce back and start a run of form that just gets them out of trouble. But the problem is, when you get to near Halloween and you've not shaken off those bad results and those bad performances, and individuals are still making those same mistakes, then again it snowballs, and it's incredibly difficult to get that result, and the games become tougher and tougher. And Hugh's right, Hibs going to Ross County, season's gone by in terms of budgets and the club sizes, you'd think, oh well, Hibs will win that. Now you're not so sure because of Ross County's result yesterday. And same for Hearts, you think Hearts Kilmarnock, that's a pretty simple one. But again, Kilmarnock will pose a threat, and if you don't pick up maximum points in that, you're on to the next week, and again it becomes harder. But I think Neil Critchley will be fine at Hearts. I think he'll get them in the right direction. It's Hibs. If you're a Hibs fan, you must be seriously concerned at the minute.
The way the schedule's set up now in the first half of the season, having those three international breaks, if you're a manager in trouble, I think you'll probably always have one eye on how close they are and when they're creeping up, because those seem to be the perfect time for clubs to decide whether they want to stick or twist in their managers. David Gray might feel at the moment that he really needs to get some results in the build up to that November international break.
Well, listen, the clock's ticking with David Gray. I don't think the Hibs fans are happy with what they're seeing. They were in control of the game today. They probably should have put the game to bed. They missed a terrific chance to make it 2-0, which would have probably got them over a line in the 3 points. But you can't have a Hibs team with a squad that they've got sitting bottom of the league with, what, 7 points. They're lucky that Hearts are down there with, takes a wee bit pressure off him, but he's got to start turning it around, start winning games, and he's got to get his defence sorted out when they're in control of the games, not to lose late goals.
We're old-fashioned guys, you and me. 19 points between Aberdeen and the two clubs in Edinburgh. 19! And we haven't played 10 league games yet.
was going to say, does this make you feel even more old-fashioned that James Wilson comes off the bench for the second weekend running, born in 2007, 17 years old, and scores another goal, a huge Derby goal as well? I feel, we said, he didn't seem like he was allowed to enjoy it. Like, Hearts were too busy trying to get the ball and go back to the halfway line. You feel he should have been allowed to have his moment in front of the fans.
If you're a 17-year-old kid and you score the equaliser in the last few moments, surely you're up in the advertising ordinance.
I'd have been in beside the fans.
I don't think people would have seen you for a week if that had happened.
Well, I've scored in Derby, so I know how it feels for a young kid. I was unfortunate. I was 18. I was a bit older.
Some would say fortunate. You can probably enjoy it more if you're 18. You can go out and make the most of it.
Oh, I enjoyed it. You can ask the Celtic fans that one.
You don't say.
So yeah, it was a 1-1 draw in the Edinburgh Derby earlier on. Some big matches yesterday. We'll look to that later kickoff. Aberdeen, as we mentioned, maybe not their best performance of the season, but winning another game, another 3 points, a big goal from Peter Ambrose, and looking at the league table, Aberdeen fans might be pinching themselves. 9 games played, 25 points. What an incredible start to the season.
They had ambition last night, and Dundee United lacked ambition, particularly in the second half. Aberdeen really went for it, and they had good individual performances. They had a magnificent crowd. I mean, the atmosphere when Rangers go there in midweek will be exceptional. But for the second time in recent weeks, they beat Hearts at the death to win 3-2. They beat Dundee United last night to get to the top of the league on their own. We don't need to ask questions now about Jimmy Tilleen. We know that everything he touches turns to gold. He's got the club as a whole really going in a way that they haven't done for a long, long time. But they deserved everything they got last night purely and simply because they wanted it more than the team they were playing.
Is even the goal scorer quite a good sign? Because if a team are doing well, sometimes they are maybe relying on one or two players who are in real form. But if you've got other players who maybe aren't a main part of your setup that are still contributing, still scoring goals, you're managing to spread that across the team. It doesn't mean that if one or two players drop out, the whole thing might fall apart.
He's assembled a good squad, you've got to say. You know, he's got some real good players up there. He made the substitution last night, paid off. But Hugh's right. Aberdeen went for it because it was Devlin, the right back, that was actually in creating the chance for him to score the winner. So, it wasn't the greatest game I've ever seen in my life, and Jim Goodwin would probably say, feel a wee bit unfortunate not to come away with a point. But Aberdeen just kept going and kept going and kept going. They didn't have that in their locker under Barry Robson. They didn't have that. They would have probably seen that game out 0-0, or they would have lost it 1-0. It was so tight. But he's just developed a good, you know, the team sort of are getting together with confidence, and he's got them playing for each other and working so hard, and everybody's singing from the same hymn sheet. And Hugh's right, the crowd was incredible. 20,000.
People
are coming back.
Yeah, people speak about momentum, and when you win games, how does that look? That's what it looks like last night, because Daz is right. You know, the longer that game's gone on, you're thinking, you fancy United here just to sit in and take a point out. It would have been a great result for them. And you then start saying, Aberdeen, it's a testy period. Are they coming off the rails a wee bit? But no, the momentum takes them. The belief in the squad gets them over the line to keep creating chances and eventually take one
I think a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the next four fixtures for Aberdeen. Celtic at Celtic Park, and they come through that with flying colours, especially second half. Dundee United, who have started the season really well, they've come through that with flying colours. They've got Wednesday night, and then they've got a semi-final. So another two massive games come on.
A quick whistle-stop tour of the other two games yesterday in the Premiership. Kilmarnock undone by poor disciplinary again, which Derek McInnes will be really disappointed with.
Well, that's his problem, and he's got to solve it. I think they'll go in a mean-spirited fashion to Tynecastle in midweek, because they are the proverbial wounded animal now. So that's for Hearts to contend with midweek, and it hasn't been a great start for Derek. And you know, he's a much praised manager. He'll need to earn his corn now to turn this around. And as for Simo Vallecari at St Johnston, I said to Mark Wilson, have a look at the crowd. The away crowd, magnificent. Banners, the excitement, the reaction when they scored goals. Simon Vallecari, in a matter of days, has got that club going. I mean, I always thought of St John's as a sleepy place, Perth, sleepy place, not really a great football hotbed. But it's absolute, to use the modern day terminology, it's absolutely buzzing.
You couldn't get someone more opposite from Craig Levein, though, could you, in Vallecari? And I think St Johnson needed that, because he's right. You look at the home crowds, the travelling support, the way they played, just the whole look of the club. Then Vallecari comes in, he looks something totally different that we've not seen in Scottish football. I'm just talking about his appearance. Now that rubs off to players. I don't know what his style's like, but in the first couple of weeks, they look like they're in the front foot. They look a attacking team. They look better to watch right away, and that's only in a couple of weeks. And to get the goal, and I mean, I know there was controversy about the goal, it's hard to see, but they get the 3 points, and Tony Dock is now the one with a problem after such a bright start to the season.
You say complete opposite. I was going to say, could you imagine Craig Levein with the earrings? But then he had that revelation on a podcast recently. Did you see this?
Nipple.
When he was manager of Leicester, that he had a nipple piercing.
Imagine seeing your manager with a nipple piercing.
Don't hold that against him. Listen, it was trending.
Was it you had pierced? As a manager?
A long time ago. But you look at where St Johnstone are. It's incredible, this league, right? We've got two of the biggest clubs, Hibs and Hearts, sitting down there on 6 points after, what, 9-10 games. And you look at St Johnstone, who we all thought, yeah, going to really struggle, they'll be down there battling away relegation. Top six just now. It's incredible. And Ross County sitting seventh. So there's a lot of work to be done for teams like Kilmarnock, St Mirren, Hearts and Hibs. Because they're what you call big clubs. They had good seasons last year, St Mirren and Kilmarnock and Dundee. So there's a bit of work to be done, but they've got to start picking up results.
Well, that's the story of the weekend so far, but still lots of action to come. Motherwell against Celtic, Rangers against St Mirren, both 3 o'clock kickoffs. We'll go back to both grounds next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Less than 15 minutes to go in the two big Scottish Premiership fixtures this afternoon. 3 o'clock kickoffs, Motherwell against Celtic, Rangers against St Mirren. We've already had one big game today. It was a 1-1 draw between Hibs and Hearts at Easter Road. Of course, Aberdeen are top of the Scottish Premiership at the moment after their 1-0 win over Dundee United. It has been a weekend full of action so far in the Scottish Premiership, but it's far from over. Let's go back around the grounds. Let's speak to Roger Hannah, who's at Ibrox. How big did that win midweek feel for Rangers, and will it give the supporters a lift, Roger, heading into this weekend?
Well, it certainly gave them a lift on Thursday night. It looked after about 2-3 minutes as if it was going to be one of those nights when Jack Butland made a mistake, the Stoy striker went round him and rolled the ball into the net. I thought it was a perfectly good goal. Rangers got a break when it was disallowed, and they took full advantage of that late off. They were excellent going forward. Vasilav Cherny's best performance in a Rangers shirt, Hamza Agamani's first goal in a Rangers shirt, and it took a bit of the sting out of things for Philip Clement. I thought he was under real pressure after that defeat at Kilmarnock. You know, it's off the back of a dreadful run away from home. I think they've now scored, is it one goal in 4 Premiership away games. They suffered a heavy home defeat to Lyon as well. People still remember that Old Firm defeat at Celtic Park. So it was a result that Philip Clement needed. He needs one again today here against St Mirren, Andrew. And for me, I think he needs results at Pittodrie and Hampden as well to really get Rangers back to a position where he believes they should be.
Yeah, we talked about that third element there is so far at the top of the table in the Scottish Premiership. Aberdeen getting their victory, that'll give them belief heading into their game against Rangers on Wednesday. Rangers now need to do the same today again with that massive match coming up.
Yeah, and as you said earlier on the show, they cannot countenance anything other than a victory here this afternoon. They will go into a bear pit at Pittodrie on Wednesday night. It will be the kind of atmosphere Hugh Keevan just witnessed 40 years ago when he'd get a train up the road to be shouted at by Alec Ferguson. The Aberdeen fans yesterday I don't remember a racket like that for many, many, many years. They have rallied behind Jimmy Tillin. The squad has rallied behind. They're getting performances from, you know, guys who last season just looked surplus to requirements. Shaden Morris, Vicente Bejuan, Papa Guy, who I know is injured just now, Esther Sokler, guys like that. Some of the signings have been excellent. I thought Nielsen and Palaversa in the middle of the park yesterday again did well. Gavin Malloy looks a decent sign in the centre half. Everything is going well for Jimmy Tillin at the moment, and they'll be licking their lips at the thought of Rangers coming into town on Wednesday.
Roger took the train up, got shouted at, and then banned most of the time.
Quite right too.
When we look at the Rangers, obviously we talk about that big game midweek, but Rangers can't be looking past today because no game is a foregone conclusion for Rangers at the moment.
No, I mean, Philippe Clement is walking a tightrope. There wasn't a great reaction to the win over Steaua Bucharest because people kept referring to the diminished nature of the Bucharest team. But personally, I thought that Rangers scored four high-class goals and had to be commended. However, this is a game where if they dropped any points, it would be a crisis for Philippe Clement. They're playing a team who have lost their last three, who have started the season very poorly, and ought not to have any chance whatsoever.
The next three are so important for them.
Yeah.
I agree, because we got a phone call on the Thursday night before the game, and one of the Rangers supporters says, doesn't matter if we win 7-0 tonight, he's still under pressure. Now, I thought Rangers, and you quite rightly point out, opposition wasn't great, but that's nothing to do with Rangers. I thought Rangers on the night were excellent. They moved the ball quickly. Two midfield players were brilliant for them. So it's up to them now in the next three games, because they're really important games. St Mirren today, I'm expecting them good performance to get a good result. Aberdeen, and then the semi-final next week against Motherwell. So it's a big week coming up for the Rangers manager.
There had been, I think, a bit of apathy creeping in from Rangers supporters just with everything that's been going on at the club. Even small things to cling on to, will it give Rangers fans a slight bit more enthusiasm looking at that team today and maybe some of the changes that they were wanting to see? Cassin Wiro coming in for James Tavernier, Hamza Igamani starting ahead of Dessers. It maybe just gives the game a bit more intrigue for those that were feeling a disconnect with the team.
Yeah, well, Rangers fans, like any fans, want to see a glimpse of the future and things progressing. Cassin Wiro, 22 years old, Igamani, 21 years old, Conor Barron must be about the same as he, run about that. So you've got young, fresh players in there that should be able to take the club forward. Now, we hear Rangers fans, and we've stood on here as well, when Goldson was at the club, you know, too many years had passed, same mistakes, similar errors time and time again. Tavernier, as good as he has gone forward, similar mistakes time and time again. So I think the Rangers fans are no different. They want to see things freshened up. Today's an opportunity. There's two or three of them in the squad. You've got two wide guys who look like they're a creative force and can score goals. So it's a much more exciting look about the side. But again, they have to go out and prove that today and stake a claim for a starting place on Wednesday night.
Gabriel Antoniazzi is at Fir Park. It's a venue that Celtic have found it tough in recent times, but Motherwell have also made it tough for Celtic at Celtic Park as well.
Yeah, exactly as you say, Andrew. They've been really good against Celtic recently. The same way that Kettlewell often gets his side up for the bigger games. Okay, the last four meetings have not actually won any of them, but Celtic required late winners in the last two matches here at Fir Park, and then it's been 1-1 the two last times they met at Parkhead. So other than possibly Aberdeen, can any club say they've troubled Celtic more often than that in the last 12 months? And that's what Stuart Kettlewell will be going for today with his side. Can they stifle Celtic? A Celtic without captain Callum McGregor. His eyes were lit up when he saw the team sheet and saw there was no McGregor for the first time this season. Yes, they've got able replacements, multi-million pound replacements coming into the centre of the park, but it is a huge opportunity for Motherwell to try and get at Celtic early. And we've seen the Celtic back line as well, despite a very impressive midweek against Atalanta in the Champions League. If you can get at them, they can look spooked, a bit rattled. So that'll surely be the game plan for Motherwell today.
You can spin it one of two ways, I think, when it comes to the last couple of games at Fir Park between these two sides. You can look at Motherwell, and they've been stubborn. They've made it really tough for Celtic to play. Could that give Motherwell belief today? But then there's the other side of it, where Celtic have just been relentless in their pursuit of 3 points, and no matter what Motherwell have done to try and stop Celtic, Celtic have just kept on going and managed to get the results.
When Celtic came back after the Dortmund debacle, they struggled at Ross County. They needed a Nicholas Kuhn goal very late on. They struggled against Aberdeen on a day when Brendan Rodgers said they were passive, lacked aggression, and they blew a 2-goal lead. But now they're coming back off Atalanta, where they have got a point that no one saw coming, and with a defensive display that no one could quite believe. Today they're without McGregor, but they have sufficient quality and quality on the bench, such as £11 million Arne Engels and Nicholas Kuhn. I don't know whether it's the mood I'm in today, but how can there be any possible explanation for Celtic dropping anything against a Motherwell team containing two players who've never played for them before and who have in Lennon Miller the outstanding young talent in the country, but the rest of the squad doesn't come anywhere near him?
An interesting game, I think, for Austin Trusty, because I think there was quite a few question marks over him in the lead up to the Atalanta game. He was Celtic's best player, I think many people would say, against Atalanta, in what is a very different game from what today is going to be. So it's about him showing a different skill set today and showing that he can perform on the bread and butter of the Scottish Premiership.
It will be, I think, domestically. Of course, if you're a centre back at Celtic, you get a lot more time in the ball, a lot more time to think about passes, and sometimes you can overthink things in possession, that is. Now he's playing on the opposite side from where he's used to, because Carter Vickers is out, no doubt about it. Yeah, Wednesday night was his best game, and he, you know, he's got to show that form consistently. I don't think there's any question though, Carter Vickers on the bench today, when he's fully fit, he will go back into that starting lineup. But you know, Brendan Rodgers will be pleased at what he's seen midweek, and it certainly serves him good stead for the future, Trusty.
If he has to go to the bench, look at the bench. At the meter, £9 million. Arne Engels, £11 million. Louis Palmer, Nicholas Kuhn, put them down for another £6 million. You're talking somewhere between £25 and £30 million worth of players you can bring on. If Celtic drop anything today, bearing in mind the Aberdeen situation, it's laughable.
Well, that is the story ahead of the games at Fir Park and Ibrox. We'll see how it all unfolds next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to get underway in the 3 o'clock kickoffs. One at Fir Park, Motherwell against Celtic. The other at Ibrox, Rangers against St Mirren. Let's get some predictions from you three first, starting with Hugh Keevans.
Rangers 4, St Mirren 0. Motherwell 1, Celtic 3.
Okay, I'll go Motherwell 1, Celtic 2, and Rangers 3-0 winners against St Mirren.
I'll go 2-0, 2-0.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
Underway in the games, one in Motherwell, one in Glasgow. Looking forward to this. We don't often have Celtic and Rangers both playing at the same time, so it should be interesting to see what happens.
That's going to specify 2-0 to who? You just said 2-0 and 2-0?
Yeah,
you know who to. Well, I'm surprised that you've not got your Motherwell strip on at the club.
I was going to wear it today, actually. If I was going to the game, I'm wearing it next week because I'm going to Hampden to support Clara and Amber. So I'll be there in full voice.
Are you going to be allowed in, do you think?
Why?
Just with that kit on.
With a number on the back.
Yeah.
The relevance. If people
didn't see this during the week, I think the video's up on social media as well. You got a gift from, was it Andy Halliday that sorted it out?
Yeah. It was a kit man that looked after us, Aldo. A lovely guy sent me it through and put a special number on the back.
It's always been special to you, that number.
I did receive a message on Instagram. Someone asked me, was that your number when you played?
On a Saturday night. Good start from Celtic there. What a nice little exchange in the corner. Get in behind, ball flashed across the front. So lively start already, 2 minutes in.
Yeah, corner to be taken by Paulo Bernardo, who is on duty certainly from that side anyway. It's headed up and out will be another corner for Celtic, underway at Ibrox between Rangers and St Mirren as well. I think the crowd as well, there was maybe question marks about what the crowd would be like midweek against, but I think people had sort of prepaid for their Europa League packages and season tickets going into this weekend. Maybe a bit of positivity from that game as well. I don't think that'll be too much of a worry today. No,
but they're not having football matches at Ibrox at the moment so much as public inquiries. The crowd are going in a judgmental frame of mind. They're not yet convinced by anything about the club on or off the park. So every game is a trial. And, you know, I just think they're fortunate today in that they have a side who are unable to help themselves at the moment. And that's why I think Rangers will win convincingly.
Yeah, but from your predictions, you don't think there's going to be any issues for
Rangers?
Either of the two sides today?
Well, for Rangers, I have to look at St Mirren's form as well, because you have to take that into consideration. They've been poor this season. Stephen Robinson will know that. And you look at the history as well. A long time since they've beaten Rangers. I think injecting Igamani and Casemiro and Barron playing very well, I think if you get those 3 points at the top of their game, they'll have too much. And for Celtic, like the guy said, look at the quality in the squad. Look at how they've been playing this season. Be hard pushed to see Motherwell getting anything.
I think both teams, Motherwell and St Mirren, will make it difficult. I really do. I look at this Motherwell setup. They're playing five at the back, three centre backs and two wing backs. They're playing a diamond in the middle of the park to try and stop the inverted full backs that Celtic use. So they're looking very, very tight indeed. They've got to try and keep it as tight as possible, and that's what you've got to do. And when you go forward, you've got to offer a threat.
Well, it's not what he would have wanted starting the game. Hamza Agamani, just 2 minutes into the match, has picked up the first booking of the game. Collision in the middle of the pitch. So we'll be walking a tight. That's a very early yellow card, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, especially, you know, he's got a big chance today. Desser's benched. Agamani off the back of his first goal for Rangers against Steaua Bucharest. So long afternoon for him.
I tell you what, for part though, Coletta looks quick playing in that right hand side.
He does,
just broke past Maeda. He played a nice little 1-2 and he was right in the Celtic back line. Now Motherwell have a corner. He looks a threat in that right hand side.
Yeah, Stuart Kettlewell had mentioned that when he's looking for players to bring them in on loan, he looks for maybe one specialist thing that they're good at. And he said earlier on this season that Marvin Coletta, it's his pace and his power when running with the ball is the thing that he's good at, and he's shown that already.
Yeah, great run. We noticed that, Mark. It was brilliant down the right hand side. Motherwell will be looking to be a threat at set plays. Andy Halliday putting that into his left foot there. Obviously one that was working the training ground. Someone peeled off at the back, tried to get a free header, but it came to nothing. But I've got to say, we're seeing these pictures coming in, and we're not at the game, but how good is Motherwell's park just now? It's absolutely sensational.
Always is. Used to be one of the worst as well.
Yeah,
it was a good few years ago, and now
used to be horrendous. I remember they painted it in one game that I was playing.
Painted
the grass green just at this dugout section, and we walked on and we looked and we went, that's not real grass, mate. And we rubbed up with our feet. That's how bad it was, and patchy and sandy. It looks terrific now.
Yeah, always a good surface. Celtic will enjoy that as they try to pass the ball around and create an opportunity. It was quite an exhausting game they had during the week. They had to do a lot of running. I remember at one point during the game that collectively, I think it was pretty early on in the game, collectively Celtic had done 4 kilometres more running than Atalanta had. It will have just further increased in the game, chasing the ball. But Celtic have a big squad. They've made changes. They're used to playing, whether it's Wednesday, Saturday or Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday in there as well. So it can't really be used as an excuse, can it?
No, not at all. I'm very much afraid that, you know, if you aspire to be in the Champions League, as Celtic do, then you just have to put up with the scheduling. And you've got a squad, a multi-million pound squad, that you can utilise. And as I say, on the bench, you've got Kuhn, Engels, Palmer, Ida, Greg Taylor, Carter Vickers. I mean, what more do you want? So that has to be of secondary importance. You have to get on with the fact that you're required to play Wednesday and then Saturday or Sunday.
Have we taken a closer look at that Celtic midfield setup? Looks like Paolo Bernardo
is the spot on, yeah.
The deepest of the three.
Yeah, I know my game. I know my football. I think, like Brendan, Bernardo's such a talented player. He can sit there. I think they can retake. I think every one of them can take a shot there. But it looks early on that Bernardo's just sitting in front, playing the McGregor role, and he's well capable of that, let's be honest about it.
Sometimes isn't always the player you think, is it? Because remember, was it under Ange Postecoglou, Celtic had that period where Callum McGregor was out injured and it was Matt O'Reilly
that sat back there
and people didn't expect it to be him.
Suppose with Matt O'Reilly and Bernardo, you get that level of composure on the ball, you know, no rush at all. You know, being Benfica, by the way, right, midweek, and see what their youth teams, you can see...
You've not told us that.
You can see Bernardo all through the academy, just the way they create players, it's amazing. And he's a finished article, obviously, that moves on for whatever it was, 5 million euro or 6 million, whatever it was. But he's a top player and brings composure to any team.
Did you know he was at Benfica, Andrew?
You want me to give you a rundown here?
Yeah. Andrew? It's alright, I'm alright. Maybe if we're running out of chat later on. It's
half time though.
Talking about producing your own talent, Barcelona 4, Real Madrid 0 last night. 6 players that started for Barcelona were from the La Masia Academy. That's like the dream, isn't it? If you're a supporter of a football team, that you've got a successful
team, a big chance here
for Motherwell.
Bernardo,
maybe not in the chance here. And the strike is off the post from Lennon Miller. I think it was at the edge of the box. It fell to him. Kasper Schmeichel had come out of his goal. He was in no man's land after a back pass from Liam Scales.
It was Bernardo.
Just didn't set his feet at all. Stamatolopoulos nicked it away. He was going a bit too wide. Cut it back for Lennon Miller. A good strike, but off the post.
Well, it's funny. You defend for 90 odd minutes in Bergamo against the Europa League winners and defend it brilliantly. And 6 minutes in at Motherwell, you defend like schoolboys.
Yeah, great opportunity there. I was expecting the net to bulge there, especially it fell to probably the most gifted player at Fir Park, Lennon Miller, who's been absolutely brilliant this season, and he's so, so unlucky not to find the target. But there's promising signs for Motherwell. They're growing in confidence into this game. Celtic are struggling. I knew they'd make it difficult for them. They're very tight in the middle of the park, not giving Motherwell space, and now a free kick with a good opportunity to test the goalkeeper.
I have to see it through behind, but I don't think he's unlucky. I think he should score.
Yep.
I think he should score that. Now, it is 20-odd yards out. Schmeichel's at his goal. He's beaten. And he's got a lot of the goal to aim at there. It's Bernardo, though. Just gets the ball caught under his feet. Can't get it at his feet. Stumbles. And the forward does well to cut that back.
I'll tell you what, big chance for Motherwell, a big chance for St Mirren as well. Tiosi Olasanya, he was at an angle, he got away from the Rangers defence, sort of dragged the ball across the face of goal. You don't really know whether he was going for a shot or going for a cross, but that one just trickles wide. But St Mirren threatening in these early stages, as are Motherwell, who have this free kick, and it's going to be Lennon Miller standing over it, right footed as he does. And that one comes off the upright as well. Lennon Miller hitting the woodwork twice in the opening 10 minutes against Celtic.
There's an alarm bell ringing in North Lanarkshire, and if it doesn't waken up Celtic, pretty soon they'll go a goal down. They've had one off the post, now one off the bar.
Oh, goalkeeper. Oh, it's a fantastic free kick, Hugh. It really is. He's bedding that right. It looks like he's getting in the top corner. The goalkeeper's not getting there. Absolutely no chance. And the crossbar saves Celtic.
What a free kick.
It's incredible. Pretty much at the same time, Motherwell and St Mirren going close against Celtic and Rangers. Starting with Motherwell, Lennon Miller just once again showing that at the age of 18, unfazed by whoever the opposition are, stepping up, taking free kicks, taking responsibility.
Well, you know, as I said earlier on, he's the best player, young player in the country, bar none. And you know, Celtic are the only club in the country that could afford to buy him if they do want him, but I suspect he'll see his life either in England's Premier League or, well, we're big in Italy at the moment, somewhere like that. But Celtic are all over the place here.
Yeah, what's good for him, Hugh, is this season he's getting a run of games, and It's good for Motherwell to have him there. Look, he's going to go into bigger and better things, there's no doubt, because he's such a talented lad, and he's been unlucky. He'll feel a bit unlucky he's not scored the opening goal of this game.
Yeah, St Mirren will get a bit of belief from their opening 10 minutes at Ibrox. Rangers haven't really managed to get into the St Mirren box at all. St Mirren have got forward a couple of times. I think Leon Balogun had to head one out at the back post, and then there was that big chance with Toyosi Olasanya. Would have been a tough one to score. It came from a slip from Robin Proper. St Mirren almost making the most of it, but unable to. But certainly Celtic and Rangers been given a good challenge so far in both games.
I mean, that's what we want to see. As I said at the start of the programme, we've got an unusual season going for us. We've got Aberdeen making Celtic and Rangers play catch up. We've got the two Edinburgh clubs 19 points behind Aberdeen. The league has taken a funny turn. Celtic, Dingwall a couple of weeks ago, struggle. Aberdeen, struggle. Motherwell, struggle so far.
Corner to Celtic at Fir Park. It will be taken, I think, again Bernardo. By Paolo Bernardo. This one was into a better area towards Austin Trusty, but headed away by the Motherwell defence.
Yeah, it's good defending. It's a good ball in, but Motherwell defenders are sharp. They're on their toes and they get it off to safety, but it's a throw in the far side. And if you're watching on telly, it's right to left.
Well, we've got one of these.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Rangers 1, St Mirren 0. Mohamed Diamandé has put the Ibrox side ahead, and after a bit of pressure that they had to sustain at the other end, it's Rangers who have the lead.
Well, as I said to you, that's the first of four, so you can forget about that game now and just concentrate on
Fir Park.
Yeah, just concentrate on Fir Park, because Ibrox is finished now.
Yeah, the ball was laid back to Nicola Raskin, who was about 25 yards out, had a shot. It was saved by Ellery Balcombe in the St Mirren goal, but it deflected back out and into the path of Mohamed Diamandé, who was on hand, who's, I think he's maybe playing in that number 10 role today, in the sort of Tom Lawrence role with him missing. So found himself in a good position in the box, was wide open, had the space and the time after that save by Balcombe to put Rangers ahead.
He needs a big display today, Diamandé. I like to look at him in pre-season. I liked him that much, I put him down as my player of the year, so he's needing a big, big season. But in domestic games, he's been very poor, I've got to say, and only for the fact that Tom Lawrence is injured. He's got an opportunity in that number 10 role, as you quite rightly said there, Andrew. So he's off to a good start. Guess if the first goal for Rangers, and I think it could be a long afternoon for St Mirren.
Yeah, especially after the pressure they had to sustain, then that will come as a big relief, I think, for Philip Clement that they've managed to get that goal now.
Celtic have a chance here, but it's out for corner.
Mrs. Motherwell captain leading by example, Hugh.
Yeah.
Good defending, good play with Celtic down the right hand side again.
As ever, the Celtic supporters will know that Rangers are a goal up, and that they're watching their team having an erratic start to the game, as Luke McCowan puts one past the post. So we've got a bit of intrigue on our hands, but it's in North Lanarkshire. There's no intrigue left in Govan.
We're seeing that free kick again. It's absolutely brilliant.
Great technique, huh?
And it was terrific. His goalkeeper, it's the right distance for him. The wall jumps. He's still got it over, and it comes down, and it's just so unlucky it hits the crossbar.
I think he's away celebrating as well. He thinks
so
it's in.
So
he's jogging away. A great technique from the young lad. But Celtic lifted it a bit in terms of tempo, pinning Motherwell in a wee bit in the last couple of minutes. Couple of corner kicks there, so slowly building their way back into the game.
How long before someone says they're missing McGregor?
I don't think you can use that as an excuse, Hugh. They've got so many talented players that should be able to get in there and play, you know, the football that Brendan Rodgers is looking for. I think you've got to give credit to Motherwell. They're set up very well. I spoke about that diamond in the middle of the park. They're working as a unit. They've got five at the back, making it very difficult for the wide players as well. So I think just now some credit must go to the Steelmen.
Yeah, well, Celtic trying to get into the Motherwell box again. Alistair Johnson's pass cut out, of course, wearing the captain's armband today. I think there probably would have been with Callum McGregor and Cameron Carter-Vickers both out. I'm not sure who you would have guessed would have been wearing the armband today.
No, I think it's a tribute to Johnson for the start he's made to his Celtic career. Popular with the fans, they like his enthusiasm. And clearly, Brendan Rodgers agrees with the fans.
Jack Butland with the armband today for Rangers. I think I saw an interview they put out on their own social media channel today, and it was actually about Jack Butland talking about being the new vice captain this season, of course taking over from Connor Goldson, saying that he doesn't feel his role has really changed all that much because he was quite a vocal presence in the changing room anyway.
When the critical callers come on to complain about Tavernier, and there are plenty of them, they always say Butland should be the captain. So they've got their way, and they've also got a lead.
I don't like goalie captains here.
No, not
I. I don't think it's, you know,
too far away from everyone.
I think commanding your back four and organising your defence, I think a goalkeeper will do that anyway. I like someone in maybe the middle of the park, or in, when I played in my case, a centre forward who was terrific.
Centre forward as captain, no chance. Too selfish.
You've got to pick, in our day, you picked the best player, so i.e. why I had the band.
If you're just joining us, two games ongoing at the moment. Motherwell Celtic at Fir Park, Rangers St Mirren at Ibrox. Around 18 minutes gone in both those matches. Goalless between Motherwell and Celtic. Rangers 1, St Mirren 0. The goal from Mohamed Diamandi for Rangers at Ibrox.
Yes, it's a perfect start for Rangers, but at Fir Park, it's still a tight, tight game. Celtic just try to find a rhythm. I don't think they've found it yet, and I think that's down to Motherwell's pressing organisation. Stuart Kettlewell goes into a lot of detail setting up his teams against, you know, the opposition. He's looked at Celtic today. He knows that the fullbacks come in. He knows that, you know, the strengths of the wide players. He knows that the midfield have got quality. So he's done his homework, and so far it's working for him.
A banner from the Rangers supporters once again towards the club. We've seen that in previous games. At Kilmarnock, wasn't there? There was a couple of banners that went up just after half time. Another one today: your ineptitude is destroying our club. Time for fans to force change.
Well, that's a powerful statement from supporters. You can't ignore that kind of thing, because there are too many supporters, and they mean too much to the club in terms of what they provide: season tickets, replica kits, all of that stuff. And it shows that the result against Steaua Bucharest had absolutely no effect on the supporters. It's domestic football that they're concerned about. I just wonder, and it's something I wrote about this morning, where's Dave King? Dave King slaughtered the Ibrox board. He said they would go down in infamy, and he said they were sleepwalking. And arguably, well, certainly statistically, things have got worse since he made that statement. So the ineptitude must stop. Well, are they looking towards Dave King to stop it?
And banners like that, I always wonder, who is that aimed at? Who are they aiming at?
What?
But I always think that's the easy way for the fans. Now, the board could argue that they have spent money. They've gave a manager time, and they've gave him opportunity to go out and build his squad, and he's under-delivering.
But a lot of it has also been about the fact that there just aren't the people in the right positions of power. Maybe they're looking for those roles to be filled, and to be filled quickly to try and give the club a bit more direction.
Do you not always think, and I'm talking about fans in general, always point to the board rather than what's going on in the pitch and probably more pressing matters?
I think you're right what you're saying about the players, and Clement's been backed, plus the fact he was given a new contract as well. So there's certainly the people in charge just now, certainly, but you're right, Andrew, they need some stability in the club from top to bottom, and they've not got that, and I think that's where the problem is.
Motherwell have a chance here from a corner. It's bouncing about that Celtic box. Eventually one of the defenders gets their boot on it and clears it away, but danger again, and it's Lennon Miller at the centre of it again.
Second time, it's worked on. Dad said that Andy Halliday delivery right on the button at the back of the 6 yard line. Lennon Miller just peeling off. He gets Valley to come and mark him, knowing he's got the beating him in the air, and he tries to direct this one back across the 6 yard box. Celtic scramble away, but certainly something Motherwell have worked on.
I have to repeat.
Look at that for a throw. Yeah,
or here's another chance.
Yeah, punched away by Casper Schmeichel. In the other game at Ibrox, Rangers managed to get forward down the right. Noratio Casemiro with a ball into the box. Igamani was waiting, but Alex Gogic put that one out for a corner. Don't think the corner came to anything. Rangers certainly look as if they're picking up a bit and trying to add to that goal that they've got so far. Motherwell threatening against Celtic, Celtic trying to get forward when they can't.
I have to say again, you know, in Italy they defended heroically and for over 90 minutes against the Europa League winners. They are all over the shop.
It's a different Kelly section, Fad Park. Here.
Yeah.
It's a real difference in setup, though, isn't it? Because when Celtic were quite happy to, I say quite happy to absorb a bit of pressure against Atalanta, but I think the way that Atalanta play forced Celtic back and forced them into sitting in their own half, whereas they will be more open, they'll be more expansive today, they'll leave more gaps today, and Motherwell so far have managed to exploit that.
Motherwell know that, they know the opportunities to get bodies forward and down the sides like we're seeing just now.
Great, I think this is too easy.
Yeah. Oof. Another chance for Motherwell here. It came from a back heel into the path of Sparrow, and his right footed shot had a bit of power behind it, but it was too close to Kasper Schmeichel, who held it.
All the chances going one way at the minute, you know, Lennon Miller hitting the post, hitting the bar, few headers at the back post, Sparrow with a half volley there from 18 yards, all going towards Schmeichel's goal. Celtic had plenty of territory round about the Motherwell goal, few corners, but have we seen Oxborough do anything? Maybe a wee save from Maeda that was maybe going wide anyway.
Motherwell are a far bit the better team, and it's not like they're playing silky football. It's just, you know, they're playing balls in behind scales and they're getting so much joy from it. And that was another good chance there for Sparrow. I think Stuart Kettlewell will be delighted with the first 23 minutes.
There may well be a bit of frustration as well, because he'll know as well as anyone that if you do get chances against Celtic, you have to take them, and you're only going to get so many across the 90 minutes.
Although it does look to me like one of those Sundays for Celtic. I think back to Falkirk of the Premier Sports Cup, I think to Dingwall, where the manager is going to have to look at that bench, because the side, I'm struggling to find the proper word to describe them. It's erratic all over the park. The passing is poor. Defensively, they look, to use one of Brendan Rodgers' words, they look spooked, and it's just not what you would have thought would have followed on from Atalanta in midweek.
People talk about how different Celtic's defence can look when Cameron Carter-Vickers isn't there, and obviously speaking about that this week isn't overly topical, because Liam Scales and Austin Trusty had a fantastic game midweek against Atalanta, but we have seen it a lot of the time when Cameron Carter-Vickers goes out, the back line doesn't look the same. Is the midfield look as if they're missing Callum McGregor so far? It's not quite as fluid as it normally is and as structured as it normally is when Callum McGregor's in there.
I think they just miss his general leadership quality. They are at the moment, individually and collectively, not hitting the mark at all. And the Motherwell goalkeeper has yet to be tested, and more than a quarter of the game is gone.
To be fair to the Celtic players that are in there just now and not performing great just now, Callum McGregor, I think, was part of those squads that struggled there in the first 45 last season as well. You even look at guys like Matt O'Reilly, part of that as well. So sometimes you've got to give credit to the opposition. That's spot on with the Motherwell shape in that midfield. Five at the back, and their wing backs are taking care of the wingers, so they've always got an extra man in defence or two in defence. But that diamond four is really taking care of the midfield at the minute, in possession, not giving them any time, blocking the passing. So it's all set up nicely for Stuart Kettlewell at the moment.
It's already looking.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Rangers 1, St Mirren 1. There's an equaliser at Ibrox, and it's Alex Gogic. The ball went out for a corner, and it was Alex Gogic who was free in the middle of the box to get that goal and get St Mirren back on level terms.
That's incredible. I met Alex on Friday.
Of course you did.
Yeah, and I said to him, are you looking forward to your trip to Ibrox? And he said, I think I will score, Daz.
You say this every week. This is one of your manufactured lies that
the
you...
The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Chug.
I tell you what, it's shocking marking.
One day you'll be saying that in a court of law.
Shocking marking from Rangers at the corner. As easy as you'll get. You know, just when you see the simple movement from Gogic, and Diamandi's got him and almost just leaves him. Just leaves him and tries to point to someone else to pick him up. The thing is, at set pieces, you can't just pass someone on in the six-yard box. It's a split second and Gogic just knocks it in. Good header, good bravery.
Saying that, you've got to ask questions of the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper, for me, has got to do a little bit better. Celtic got opportunity. Goal Celtic. Come on, Andrew.
Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Well, it's all happening, isn't it? St Mirren equalise against Rangers and then Celtic take the lead at Fir Park, and it's Luke McCowan who grabs the goal for Celtic, signed for £1 million in the summer and has another goal in a Celtic shirt.
The Celtic fans love his story because he is a Celtic fan who gets to wear the shirt. It is a terrific finish. It has been what Celtic have lacked all afternoon. Sense of purpose, just knowing what you're going to do, and the finish is terrific. For Luke McCowan, a big, big moment.
Yeah, good goal. I've got to say, the Motherwell backline just opened up like the Red Sea, and he just strolled through there on his favourite left foot, gives a goalkeeper absolutely no chance, and that was the response. That's what they can do. We're talking about, you know, how good Motherwell were. They've hit the bar, they look the better side. But when Celtic have got that much quality, it just needs that split second and all of a sudden the game changes.
27 minutes in and that's the first sign of it.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll disagree with that, Hugh, in terms of McCowan though. McCowan's had four efforts from outside the box in the first 27 minutes. You saw James Forrest having a go at him because he shot for 20 odd yards. You saw one he dragged and it deflected. I think another one deflected as well. It's something in his game. And you see he gets a break of the ball there, it comes to him, it falls to him about 20 odd yards out. That's right, Motherwell defends, back off. You can't back off someone like McCowan at the edge of the box. It's a good finish. In terms of clear cut chances, Hugh, I would agree with you. But with him, you can see why he's in that side today. He can do something like that.
I think while that goal was going in, there was a VAR check going on at Ibrox just to see whether that Alex Gogic goal would be given or not. It did stand, of course, yeah, or else we would have told you a bit quicker than this. But happening shows you just how the points swing as well. It can happen on a day like this when Celtic and Rangers are both playing at the exact same time, that at one moment Rangers have 3 points from today's work, Celtic have 1 point, and then in the space of a few moments, Rangers 1 point, Celtic 3 points.
In my head, I can hear the crowd at both grounds. At Ibrox, utter dismay, and given the banners that you've been describing to us, Andrew, there will be anger and hostility in the air. And at Motherwell, the Celtic supporters, having cheered when Rangers lost an equaliser, then find themselves one to the good through Luke McCowan, who is the representative of the Celtic support on the park, because that is why his story is so appealing to the Celtic fans. So an astonishing sequence of events.
It's a good response for St Mirren, because I think we were all sitting in here thinking, right, it'll be an easy day for Rangers, it'll be a case of how many this afternoon and everything will be fine and govern. But as I said, I spoke to Gogic and he said that they were working on set plays. This is true, Hugh. I wouldn't make things up. And he told me that they'd been really working in set plays all week. So it's obviously paid off. Well done to them.
How can this man have the effrontery to say to us, I wouldn't make things up?
I know I do sometimes, but today I'm not. It's a Sunday. I never do it on a Sunday.
Yeah, a chance for Rangers there, if you can call it one. It was Nereshio Casanriro with a cross into the box. Didn't quite catch it correctly, but it meant it hit off the St Mirren bar and goes out for a goal kick. Nearly caught out Ellery Balcombe, but I don't think that it was ever really going to dip underneath that bar.
No, it just slices it, doesn't it? Just tries to lace it across the front, slices it. Rangers will have to pick things up 30 minutes into the game. St Mirren holding their own in that one. You said you described the chance early on for St Mirren as well. So it's not as if they just had one furry up the pitch and scored from the corner. They carry a threat. I'm surprised by that because of their form. But over at Fir Park, Celtic certainly now settled, I think, after that goal. And that's quite often the case. Been there before, Daz been there before. You're the team, you're the favourites, expected to go and dominate. And things don't always go your way until you get your necks in front, and then everybody just the shoulders relax a bit and you can start playing a wee bit more. That's the way it looks in the minutes after that Luke McCowan opener.
Still a lot of time to play today, half an hour in at Ibrox. Rangers, if they only got a point from this game, and they may get three, they may get none from it, but they would go into that game against Aberdeen at Pittodrie 8 points behind Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Eight points behind Aberdeen, and it wouldn't even be November yet. Aberdeen would have the chance to go 11 points clear of Rangers.
Oh, a draw would be an absolute disaster, and Philippe Clement would be in terrible trouble. The crowd are demonstrating that 4-0 against Steaua Bucharest reserves is neither here nor there. that this is all about domestic football. This is all about shifting the dial here. And it's just not happening for Rangers so far this season. So a draw would, I mean, I always say a draw is a disaster, a defeat's a catastrophe. They're somewhere between defeat and catastrophe right now.
They can't afford a draw this afternoon.
No, not at
they
all.
Can't. I totally agree with you. Especially with the game on Wednesday night coming up. Is Celtic going the front foot looking for a second goal?
Well, a decent chance for Rangers there. It was a ball in from the right, but Rami was at the back post at a bit of an angle, but he couldn't direct it on target. Goes into the side netting. Remains 1-1 at Ibrox. The cross was actually took a big deflection into the path of Barami, who had Igamani in the middle for support, went for goal himself, was bouncing up, just hit the side netting.
Here's a prediction of the day, and you've got to hear it after 32 minutes. Dessers will come on and score today. Aye, Brooks.
Yeah.
Not that, don't you?
The Sage
is your
has
man,
spoken.
He's your top goal scorer, isn't he, for the season?
Yeah. I need him to come on and get the magic boots.
And where is he? He must be up there, is he not? In terms of
He's not scored for about six games, is he not? I think six games. Am I correct in saying that, Andrew? You're a stat man, you should know that. That's your job.
He doesn't look sure though, because he's just nodding, he doesn't
take me up in it.
I'll take your word for it. Look, you do your homework. We hear that all the time. You're outside the school gates chatting to Alex Gogic. You know your stuff.
I'm going to take a selfie tomorrow just to show you all.
I mean, would be good. Get a selfie, you and Gogic.
Me and Big Gog.
I mean, I wouldn't recommend hanging about outside the school gates with your camera out, but a chance here. And I think, has the flag gone up?
Well, it's either
because the ball's ended up in the back of the net for Celtic, off Dyson Maeda. And I have no idea what's actually going on here, because it doesn't look as if the goal's been given.
It's a brilliant pass through. Run about the penalty spot. Maeda comes in off the side. Is it offside? Is it a penalty? Is it a goal? I'm not quite sure.
If it's not offside, it's a goal.
It also depends on when.
It's a goal, is it not?
The whistle has gone as well. Absolutely no idea what has happened here at Celtic Park. It was a ball into the box. There was a challenge between Dyson Maeda, Stephen O'Donnell and Aston Oxborough. We're all going for it.
What
and then
a
we
pass.
See the run from deep, and it looked as if it was maybe even put into the net by.
Is it hand?
Stephen O'Donnell was it? It's a foul, I think, has maybe been given.
Well, it comes off Maeda's hand to go in the back of the net.
All right, okay, that
can't be
given. But
Maeda's got to have been fouled.
Yeah.
He's got to have been fouled. It's got to be a penalty kick.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I don't think you. Because then, obviously, he uses his hand because he falls onto it because he's pushed. So I'll be surprised if this isn't given to Celtic.
Well, Gabriel says there's a VAR check for handball, which I don't think is going to last very long, because the ball quite clearly strikes the hand of Dyson Maeda and goes into the net. But so it depends
after
when the whistle went. And
after he's been clearly pushed or tripped by O'Donnell. Now, it's a great run, a great pass from McCowan right into the penalty spot area, just beyond it. Maeda's getting there, it looks
so
like.
I think what has happened, I think the referee has given the goal on the pitch.
Right.
So they're having to check to rule the goal out for handball, because this.
And can you not change that to a penalty kick?
Yeah, I think they can, because that happened before that the ball like, came off the hand of Dyson Maeda.
That looks like a stonewall penalty kick to me. Yeah.
So that'll be the next thing they check, because the handball. The goal cannot stand, of course, because it comes off the hand of Dyson Maeda. But the next check you'd expect would be
penalty kick.
Whether it's a penalty or not.
Oh,
certainly Brendan Rodgers wants one. However, it's play on, no penalty to Celtic.
Well, that's bizarre. I mean, it's as blatant a penalty as you'll ever see.
I can't understand that.
VAR is having a very poor weekend.
Someone will have to explain that to us at half time. Gabes will be our man. He'll know. Yeah. He'll get to the bottom of it, because the guys are right. Maeda's inside O'Donnell. It looks like O'Donnell either trips him or pushes him in order for Maeda to fall onto the ball, and his hand obviously puts it across the line. So no doubt it's a handball, so the goal can't stand. But how does he get to the stage he has to handball it? He gets fouled.
I wonder about the positioning of O'Donnell, whether the referee or the VAR thinks that Dyson Maeda has run into the back of Stephen O'Donnell to try and get through him and into the ball, and in that case has sort of clattered into the back of him and fallen over. It's whether Stephen O'Donnell has made the motion to try and take him out or not.
Maeda clearly makes a two-handed gesture that O'Donnell has had both hands in his back and knocked him to the ground. I, we're getting our look at it. VAR's had its look, but for me, clear-cut penalty.
Yeah, I feel we'll need to see another replay of that one to see exactly. I don't think the angles were the best. It was kind of focusing more on the handball, wasn't it, than the incident. But in fairness, the goal, I think, had been given and then had to be ruled out, so that's why the cameras would have been focusing on that, because that was the initial decision. There's a stoppage in play now that I would imagine we'll see this again. So the ball is played through from deep. Daizen Maeda and Stephen O'Donnell both going for the ball.
That looks like a penalty kick.
Does that look like a penalty, would you say? Stephen O'Donnell step across the front of Daizen Maeda.
I think he tangles his legs as well and kind of leans into the back of him. So I think it's, you know, Maeda's saying there's a push. I think his legs does get tangled as well. I think it's a penalty kick.
See if he doesn't go down, he's got to stick the ball in the back of your net, because a terrific ball and terrific run, and he's in front of O'Donnell. So I don't know what they're thinking, but that was a penalty kick for me.
Well, no penalty to Celtic at Fir Park despite the protests. I think it was more John Kennedy than Brendan Rodgers that was doing most of the protesting on the sideline.
I was going to say, Andrew, I didn't see many of the players protesting. The camera was fixed a lot in the referee and Maeda, but you know, players in the pitch get a feel for things and they understand the game. And to see that,
I wonder if there was just more confusion because the ball had ended up in the back of the net. There was probably Daizen Maeda's teammates didn't know what part of his body it came off, so didn't know whether to celebrate or not. And
but this is where we've got time. There is no rush.
Yep.
We have got VAR to take time. You know, the ref doesn't need to blow any whistle. He can just be told if he's unsure what's actually happened there. I thought it came off his hand. Was it a foul? Is it offside? It's loads of time. So I don't know what's happened there between the referee, VAR, and how they came to that decision.
Bit of a stoppage in play at Ibrox. Tuyosi Olasanya down getting treatment. I think we might be back underway now.
I wonder what if Rangers getting 1-1, what the reaction from the supporters would be.
Very poor.
Sitting top of the league, you know, and you're winning every game, you go in 1-1 against a St Mirren. If you're Celtic or Rangers, you get the old
boo.
When you're struggling, of course, they're not going to be happy, are they?
Yeah, Roger Hanna will be able to tell us at half time, but I imagine that, especially with we saw the banner earlier on, some of the discontent amongst Rangers supporters, that this will just add to it. If they can't beat a St Mirren side who lost 4-0 to Hearts last weekend.
I said to you earlier on, they're not playing football matches at Ibrox just now. They're having public inquiries. Every game is a public inquiry into what's going on and off the park. And at halftime, there will be a storm of booing if it's still 1-1, because the Rangers fans know, you did the equation yourself, Andrew, that you know they can't go to Pittodrie on Wednesday with a situation that they've made even worse than it was at kickoff time. So there will be a storm of protest at half time if it's still 1-1.
Yep, Rangers 1, St Mirren 1, around 5 minutes to go left until half time. The same amount of time left at Fir Park, where it's Motherwell 0, Celtic 1. Luke McCowan with the goal for Celtic. No Callum McGregor today for Celtic. No James Tavernier today for Rangers. Thinking a adductor injury is for Callum McGregor, being rested, just sorting that one out. James Tavernier on the bench for Rangers.
For the benefit of those of us who do not have a degree in medicine, what is an adductor?
Matt can tell you, he's had a few.
I've had it.
What is it?
Groin.
I've had it as well then.
Abductor and adductor, isn't it? One of them brings it in, one of them goes out. I've had both. And surgery.
Have you for that?
I've been everywhere. Wait, Munich for surgery on that neck of the woods. Had to use the old Veet hair removing cream for.
We'll see your scar at half time.
Not my proudest moment.
Motherwell going for an equaliser in the dying minutes of the first half. They're swarming around.
I like how as soon as you bring up Veet hair removal cream, Hugh was so quick just to change the subject back to the football. The uncomfortable
Hugh,
territory.
You've got to, because when you're getting surgery, the full area has to be smooth as smooth as you like.
The thing is, we've had legal training in journalism, and there are legal parameters that you must not cross.
I know. I was going to ask what "smooth as you like" means, but I'm just going to leave that as that. But yeah, approaching half-time in both of these matches, Celtic and Rangers certainly both being tested today by St Mirren and Motherwell. Celtic standing up to the test better. Didn't look like it in the early stages. Lennon Miller hitting the woodwork twice for Motherwell. And they were looking good, but Luke McCowan did well to find that goal. Rangers started off maybe a bit, well, St Mirren actually probably in the first 10 minutes or so looked the better side. Rangers got that goal and then it's not been great for them since then.
Very interesting afternoon with a VAR mystery thrown in at Motherwell. Why Celtic did not get a penalty is a complete mystery, but interesting, the two games in the balance. I still think Celtic will go to the bench before this is finished and freshen things up, but they've had an interesting first half of it. Their post has been struck. Their bar has been struck. They have struck through Luke McCowan, but not at their absolute best. However,
the only thing I'll say, Hugh, in the last 15 minutes, Motherwell's not really caused a threat to Schmeichel's goal. Celtic dominating now the possession. Motherwell just dropping into that formation, everyone behind the ball trying to make it difficult for Celtic, because Stuart Kettlewell knows it. 1-0, they're still in the game.
Of course.
At 2, and I know the argument about Aberdeen, but I wouldn't fancy Motherwell to come back from that.
It's amazing Aberdeen's what a goal does to a game, though, because you're right, Motherwell were causing Celtic problems, but as soon as Celtic get the goal and they relax a bit, it's the opposite effect for Motherwell. They seem to retreat a bit, they seem to be a bit unsure in the press. We're seeing the midfielders, Hatate and especially McCown, the two side ones, getting on the ball plenty. So it's certainly changed this game, that goal. Celtic looked much more relaxed.
But not so relaxed that they can't take their foot off the gas, because here come Motherwell again.
It's a good ball, that from O'Donnell.
Yeah, heading good forward, that's going to be a foul by Liam Scales, you'd think.
Offside, is it?
That was an offside, actually. So Apostolos Stamatolopoulos trying to make his way into that Celtic box. Liam Scales stepped across him, but he just made the run, tried to bend his run, but made it a bit too early.
I would just call him the Australian boy.
I'm just calling him Stama.
Stama. Yeah.
That's what, when I spoke to him, he says to me, don't pronounce my name, just call me Stama, does. Uh-huh. I says, that'll do for me, Stama.
St Mirren with a wee bit of territory they've had in the last couple of moments as half-time approaches, which if Rangers are fighting a battle to keep it at 1-1 going into half-time, there's certainly going to be a bit of discontent from supporters.
Andrew, believe me, as a long time watcher of these matters at Rangers and Celtic, if this is 1-1 at half time at Ibrox, there will be bedlam, and Roger Hanna is the very chap to articulate it for us. But you know, the banners say it all. The fans don't believe the club has been run properly, and the one thing that Philippe Clement has to do is to avoid the situation getting worse because of results on the park. And that hasn't happened so far. And today, anything other than 3 points means a real bad day for Rangers.
Celtic pushing to try and get that second goal before half-time. Shot by Kyogo is blocked for a Celtic corner.
I was just going to say that. I'm watching the game, obviously, coming in from Fir Park. 44 minutes in the clock. I've not seen a lot of Kyogo at all.
Well, we're back to service.
Yeah, but that was a glance that he's still sharp. He's looking for things in the box, and he's forced a corner kick.
Sometimes it's when we've seen Kyogo at his best, though, isn't it? It's when he's maybe not involved too much in a game and all of a sudden pops up with a vital goal or pops up with a couple in the game. That was especially when he featured under Ange Postecoglou. His game wasn't really getting involved in matches a lot. It was just being there in the vital moments and taking chances.
Tell you what, I like the look of the left back for Celtic. I was unsure in the first few games, couldn't quite work out if he was going to turn out to be a good player, but technically very good how he moves the ball. I think he's getting used to that system Celtic play now, that he can come inside that inverted role and receive. But
he's a nice footballer,
very good to watch, very pleasing on the eye. You just wonder how he is defensively. That's how, when Coletta runs in the first few minutes, I'm thinking, well, Valley's going to have his work cut out today, but it's never really materialised into that. On the ball though, looks really
comfortable. I've got to say, Mark, I do agree with you, but I think if it was a cup final tomorrow in the strongest team, I think Greg Taylor would still just pip him just now.
Wednesday was maybe the opposite of what you'd expect from him, where he defended very well, but his use of the ball maybe it wasn't as good as you'd think for someone that's coming on loan from Barcelona, but it was probably just the state of the game that, yeah, that didn't help that. You'd back him to be good on the ball just based on the fact that he's come through,
I think,
La Masia.
Domestically, a team like Celtic suits him. Plenty of the ball, plenty of forward options to play from, but when you go to that Champions League and those forward options are restricted, then he might struggle. But he's certainly shown up well today.
4 minutes added at Ibrox. There was a stoppage in play earlier for Tayosi Olisanya to get some checks after an injury. So Rangers have 4 minutes to either hold on to a draw going into the break, or to try and nick a goal. And they'll be hoping that they don't concede.
I have to say I'm astonished that it's 1-1. Absolutely astonished. A St Mirren team, as poor as they are, with a record going into the game as bad as it was, I'm astonished it's 1-1.
Well, you've got to give St Mirren credit. They've showed a bit of character. They could have easily folded. They're not in good form, and they've came for a goal behind and probably getting 1-1 at half time.
Well, it is half time at Fir Park. We can speak to Gabriel.
Yes, it is, Andrew. Celtic leading 1-0 at the interval thanks to Luke McCann's 27th minute strike. The midfielder scoring on his first start for the club in place for the injured captain Callum McGregor. You have to say that the goal did come against the run of play. The host started really brightly here. As ever, it was Lennon Miller driving the team forward. He hit the woodwork twice in the first 10 minutes. He initially smacked the post from 20 yards after Paolo Bernardo carelessly lost possession and left goalkeeper Kasper Schmeichel stranded. 2 minutes later, from nearly the identical spot, he had a free kick and curled it off the crossbar with Schmeichel beaten. But Celtic looked dodgy at the back again, a far cry from their defensive heroics in Italy on Wednesday night. Motherwell turning the Celtic centre-halves, making them play facing their own goal, which is not what they want. But that all changed with the McCowan goal. He had a few strikes past the post early on, but he didn't miss this time. Nestled into the bottom corner after he showed tidy feet just outside the box. After that, Celtic looked much more relaxed and in control, and Motherwell took a step back. Celtic thought they did have a second. Adesan Maeda challenged Stephen O'Donnell in the box, the ball squeezing in off the post. The referee appeared to initially give a goal, but of course VAR checked it and it did intervene. Maeda accidentally but clearly used his hand to score, meaning that it was rightfully disallowed. But then the Celtic backroom staff, especially John Kennedy down here on the touchline in front of me, asked why it wasn't a penalty, why wasn't it looked at with the heavy challenge from O'Donnell. We didn't hear in the stadium that a penalty was being checked for, and it doesn't appear that it was. We'll maybe find out more going forwards. But anyway, Celtic certainly in control here. Motherwell do know they can hurt them. Miller will want to get involved again, and I'm sure that will be Stuart Kettlewell's plan at halftime. A big second 45 coming up, Andrew. Halftime, it's Motherwell 0, Celtic 1.
Yeah, a tight first half at Fir Park, but Celtic go in ahead. I think it is now half-time at Ibrox as well, Roger.
It is. Rangers 1, St Mirren 1. A banner from discontented supporters and a half-time scoreline and first half performance that will not improve their mood at all. Just 7 days after losing to Kilmarnock, and with a side already 9 points adrift of Aberdeen, Rangers are being held by an out-of-sorts St Mirren team as well, and it's been a poor performance for Philip Lamont's side. Too many backwards passes, not nearly enough creativity, and certainly not enough urgency from this much-changed side. Of course, no Cyril Dessers, James Tavernier with him on the bench, no John Souter, no Tom Lawrence at all. St Mirren started brightly as well, Andrew. I think there was an interesting challenge. Hamza Igamani was booked after just a couple of minutes for a foul on Charles Sun. They required lengthy treatment for the St Mirren centre-half. But the Buddies pushed forward. Rangers needed Liam Balligan to head clear at the back post after just 5 minutes. And then St Mirren missed a really good opportunity. There was a slip by Robin Cropper. It allowed Tayosi Olisanya to bust clear at an angle in Jack Butland's goal. But it's St Mirren top scorer. Fired his shot across the face of goal when he really needed to hit the target. Olisanya's miss, that was punished in 13 minutes when Rangers took the lead from their first meaningful attack of the game. Nadim Bajrami finding the ball at the byline, then left, he cut it back for Nico Raska, and a fierce shot, it took a deflection. Somehow St Mirren goalkeeper Ellery Balcombe managed to keep it out, but he could only push it out for Mohamed Diamandi, whose left foot shot high into the net. for 1-0. But St Mirren equalised, and they deserved to equalise in 26 minutes. Mark O'Hara's free kick was headed out by Raskin for a corner. O'Hara, the Buddy skipper, took the set piece, and there was Alec Gogic free inside the 6-yard box to boom a header past Rangers stand-in captain Jack Butland. Rangers claimed a foul, but the VAR checked it and backed referee Callum Scott and gave the goal. Rangers tried to respond in the rest of the half, and the ratio, Casson Wiro hit the bar with a cross-come shot. Then Bajrami hit the outside of the net from a tight angle on the left side of the 6-yard box. Vaclav Cherny, the two-goal hero against Stoyan Thursday night, he had a running shot that was easily saved by Balcombe. Rangers had pressure in 4 minutes of added time at the end of the half. A couple of back-to-back corners, but Balcombe managed to deal with them. There is much more needed from Rangers in the second half. At the break at Ibrox, Rangers 1, St Mirren 1.
Yeah, an intriguing opening 45 minutes at Fir Park and at Ibrox. Let's see what's going to happen in the second 45 next.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
A busy afternoon in the Scottish Premiership, where there has been plenty of drama. There was a full-time score earlier. Hibs 1, Hearts 1 in the Edinburgh Derby at Easter Road. It's half-time between Motherwell and Celtic. Celtic 1-0 up, the goal coming from Luke McCowan. And at Ibrox, it's Rangers 1, St Mirren 1. Mohamed Diamandé opening the scoring for the home side, but Alex Gogic pinning them back. There are some scores in the English Premier League as well. It's into injury time in all three of those games. Chelsea 2, Newcastle 1, Crystal Palace 1, Tottenham 0, West Ham 2, Manchester United 1. There is a 4:30 game as well, Arsenal against Liverpool. We'll get the second halves of those two games in Scotland back underway next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.